Should we do like a mic check, audio test, or anything?
Who the hell is Mike Border? This is the patron Q&A for March 2024. That number keeps going up.
Yeah. But
we've got plenty of stuff to show for it. This is the debut day of the T80B. We just had the stream before this. You can catch that on Twitch until it expires, and on YouTube probably tomorrow. And now we are taking questions.
Nice.
It looks like we've got a few people lined up, so let's just hop right into it. Miguel, how's it going?
It's going good.
Cool.
T80 looks amazing.
Thank you.
I was just wondering about Not One Step Back and Broken Arrow. Those two songs are like Mission Pacific, I think, and I was just wondering if those two songs will be in the other missions as well.
Not sure. They were designed for very specific events, so they have a certain mood to them that was specific to them. If we decide, like, yeah, why not, let's throw them in the other missions, we could do that eventually. We could maybe do something where there's a more detailed classification of what kind of mission something is. I don't know. It remains to be seen. For now, they're on the soundtrack, if you want to hear them more. And I don't really know a yes or no on whether they'll come to other missions.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Arcfire Fox.
Hello. Excuse me. Hello, hello. Good afternoon.
Hey.
Howdy.
Yeah, I got three questions for you.
All right.
So, starting off, with the Roshan forces still being implemented, are you guys happy with the impact it's had so far? And aside from the infantry, what is left to add to their forces to flesh them out more?
All right, so for first question, yes, I am happy with the impact. It was honestly kind of weird before to have like one side so clearly outclassing the other, where to the point where you couldn't even harm the Abrams from the front unless you were lucky. It might have been historical if you suppose that the US is engaging the NVA in some situation without Soviet support, but it's not a good gameplay feature to have one side be so much better. So the Soviets arriving is kind of correcting that. And like I said on stream, the T-80 is going to do a lot for closing that gap as well, because it's just kind of stronger all around than any other Soviet tank, and it's up here for the M1. So that's finally taking care of that problem. As far as features that are coming that will flesh it out, I mean, infantry is the big one. A lot of the other stuff is cosmetic, but then the detailed campaign, that's probably the other biggest game changer that's on the way, because right now the game doesn't have a lot of replayability unless you're extremely into tanks, and just the joy of seeing the tanks doing their thing is enough to make you come back, which for plenty of people it is, and it's cool. But if you want an actual game with goals to work toward and some kind of sense of progression and like having your choices matter, that is not really there yet, and it will be when the campaign mode is updated.
Nice. Also, I should have specified what the plan was to flesh out the Russian side for more, but that's all right.
Oh, gotcha.
Whole answer still applies, just replace anything else with, add Russia in randomly into that sentence, you'll be fine.
I'm excited for the extended campaign Russia mode.
Yep.
Easy. Oh yeah, I'm very excited for it too. Mm-hmm. I do have one question on that, but since it's just planned right now, the question isn't really going to do much, so I will move on to the other questions I had.
Okay. Yep.
All right, so as you work on the AI within the game here, will the doctrine of each nation be applied to the AI strategy of each nation?
It's very likely. For the features that we've already made, where there is a doctrinal difference, we've tried to implement that. For example, the way platoons are structured, the three vehicles versus four for the NATO and PACT. Or the, I think there's differences in how they employ smoke grenades, possibly. Or maybe they're going to be, and we didn't do it yet. But there's separation based on what side they're from in several features. Voice commands is another big one, although that's more cosmetic. But yeah, we've been conscious of that as we develop stuff. Once the AI is sophisticated enough to do more things than move and shoot, we'll be thinking about those details as well.
I look forward to the common strategy of reversing into battle.
Yes, yeah, that's a big one. Judging by GHPC, which is a documentary, that was commonly done.
The only way I go into battle, honestly.
All right, one final question for you, which it's also kind of a wish list item here, but can we, your patrons, provide phrases or names or something like that that you can write onto the bombs and missiles that will be in the game?
No.
Oh, well.
Yep.
Well, thank you anyway.
If we ever did want to do that, we'd give you guys a lot of lead time, because going from, hey, give us content, to, all right, let's put that together on our current, like, roadmap of features and our internal planning, that's, like, that would be very low priority on things we were working on.
Yeah. I mean, it strikes me as a joke request, so.
Of course, but if we ever wanted to extend that to patrons and be like, hey, here's a poll, hey, here's this thing that we're looking for, or, like, we opened up a tier for something, I don't know, we would ask well in advance.
The sandwich tier.
Delicious.
All right, well,
sandwich,
that's all I got.
Text delight.
Yes. All right, I will pass it on to the next. Thank you for the answers.
Thank you for the questions. Jinx.
Dick. Ah.
All right, next up we've got Audipup.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey. So, got a few basic questions. Most of them are going to be the answer to we can't say or we don't know. But I'll hit them anyway, just in case.
Yeah, shoot your shot, man.
Yeah, so stealing a couple from questions that came up in the stream that you didn't answer. Firstly, very interesting one on my part, I thought. Somebody mentioned, like, and it's an interesting one, will there be targets that are maybe not the standard sort for the game in terms of, like, mission? So maybe you're a armored platoon that is being revised, you know, you've managed to get behind through the enemy lines, you know, maybe late in the campaign. There's, an SA-300, or I don't know what the equivalent would be at the time, you know, an anti-aircraft battery, effectively. Go kill it.
It's not out of the question, but stuff like that means that we have to tell the art team, hey, make all these other vehicles that are not going to do anything besides be shot at. So it becomes a bit harder to justify. It's possible. I'm not going to say, like, likely, but we'll see.
It certainly makes sense for certain kind of gameplay objectives. I feel like Kevin, our mission designer, would even enjoy that kind of being able to play around with that stuff. But yeah, those particular items kind of fall into, like, almost in the vein of we're making more stuff to make the map a bit more lived in, like, you know, broken down cars in places, or, like, you know, houses that have, like, laundry strewn about, things that show people were there. And around the same time, we would have, like, different objectives that we can paint with. Because from a technical standpoint, yeah, we could do that fairly simply. From a content standpoint, that's not really what we're trying to focus our team on right now.
So very much the sort of late stage, maybe around the same time the dynamic campaign comes out, sort of era.
If we were to do something like that, yeah, because it's that's not a heavier lift to do. We have a bit more of a heavier lift on, you know, working on specific FCS features and optimizing the game and stuff like that. So, to give a little bit more context, I agree with Action. but yeah, it would be like down the road if it were to happen.
Okay. And then the other question, one for me, we have some absolutely incredible, you know, enemy and friendly artillery options. We have some aircraft coming in. We know that stuff like the A-10's been teased. Whether the gun works or not, you know, that's another question. But we know there are these options coming in. Is there anything that is maybe a bit more unique, like maybe an MLRS system or something like that, that we can expect to be calling in? And, you know, would it heavily affect the fire support, or is it really just a case of, you know, make a bit of a noise change and change the damage values?
Well, you're not likely to see the artillery because the ranges on those are much higher than the map size. So if we were to put in MLRS, it would be just a change to the way the rounds come in.
I should correct myself. I did mean that. I meant like how, you know, would we be looking at pulling in more varied artillery support?
It's possible. I know we've kicked around the idea of doing like grad strikes and stuff. The rocket barrages, but it requires someone has to take the time to go in and make new effects for them, and our effects guy is part-time. He's working on other stuff, so it's one of those like long-term wish list things. Like, yeah, it would be cool, but we're not gonna say definitely yes, because there might be other things that are more important and we just never get to it.
Kevin just now, Lancer, the mission designer, he just now, as part of this patch, whenever it gets released, will have the ability to have multiple artillery items available as part of the fire support list. So instead of just one artillery button, you can have different shots and types and values there. And then it'll be up to the player to however they want to use them. So, as far as, like, yeah, the content stuff, the VFX, that's something we would have to work with on a specific timeline, but then it's up to... I think we've given Kevin a lot of the tools to be like, okay, I want to make it like this, and I want to have this type. I request these for these missions, and then we'll say, okay, we'll fit it into a plan if we can.
Cool. Okay, and then one silly question before I turn it over to Nico, sure. Looks like the only one waiting. If you could... You know, obviously this is a silly thing, and this is, you know, you guys doing it at the piss take sort of thing, but, you know, fictional tank, both one planned on paper and one completely fictional. If you could add it, what would you add?
When you say, just for clarity's sake, when you say fictional, is that, like, a tank that would not live in the current theater? Is that a tank that...
Okay, so I was actually asking a double-barreled question. So part one is, you know, let's say a real-life over tank that exists... Or okay. Was going to exist, maybe as an experiment, or was never going to start them, and then like completely fictional, like I don't know, a Star Wars tank or something. Star Trek.
Got it.
You know, got nonsense it. Like that.
Got it. I would put in any tank from the Warhammer 40K universe.
that is probably the most expected answer of all time.
I'm sorry, that's the one I'm most familiar with.
To quote the meme, that is the most basic answer I think I've heard.
That is me. I'm the normie.
But you know what? That's better than my answer, which is I don't fuck with fictional tanks.
True.
Indeed. Well, hopefully some models will come along, because you guys are producing an amazing game, an amazing sort of ground, and, you know, can't wait to see the future.
Well, thanks. Modders will fix everything. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, not model, not in that respect, guys. But you know what I mean.
I understand. All good.
Hey, Nico, what? How's it going?
Nico,
my cousin. Ooh.
Okay, so it's a double question. So,
this is your time.
Yes,
you
I know.
Let us know what's on your mind. What's up?
Would you be able to drag someone from the audience to here? And because my second question is, how do you handle the creation of the music, and how do you exchange with Majoris for the tracks and everything?
Oh, I see. You're calling Majoris to the stand.
Yes.
I guess it depends if he wants to speak.
Yeah.
Majoris, do you wish to answer this question for this lowly individual? I didn't have to add lowly there, but I mean, let's just
You got to take the yellow names down a peg or two every once in a while. I can start answering anyway.
Go for it.
What we usually do is when we have an occasion that we think deserves new music, we go to Majoris and we say, "Hey, do you have time to make this?" And usually he says yes, and then he makes some drafts to get like an idea of what the sound would be, and then we do a couple of rounds of feedback where we say, "Hey, that's really cool. This sounds a little off," or "I like this more than that." We go back and forth a couple of times. He does like a final draft, and then we get the files and we pay him. And once the update comes out, they're in the game. Back in the earlier days, we had bigger batches of work, like, hey, make multiple mission tracks, and they have to have different layers and all this stuff. But these days, we tend to only add one thing here and there for a special event. So the workload is a little lighter, and the turnarounds are a bit quicker. But yeah, we basically just come up with the idea ahead of time, and then we go through revision cycles, and then it's done.
Josh is being a bit generous with the "we" on the feedback portion here. So when Majoris does put forward a couple of drafts, just to kind of see like what direction he's heading, usually it's Josh and Harry, but a bit more on Josh's side, giving the majority of feedback. It's like, "Oh, did you guys listen to this? I really like what he did here, but I think he could do, you know, X, Y, and Z." And he'll actually use some light kind of like music description for us and everything. I'm just like, "That sounds neat, man. Does it sound good?" "Yeah, it sounds good to me. I don't see any difference." But like, I can see the difference like between those early drafts and then the thing that he eventually does release, and then you say, "Oh, you've nailed it." And I will hear the difference between the two, and I'm like, "Wow, I wish I could communicate any of that." Because it's a wide breadth. So,
it's because I took music classes when I was younger, so I know a little bit of the vocabulary, which is very useful for talking about feedback. Instead of being like, "It needs a little bit more pop." Like, you actually describe what you want.
"Can you give it a little bit more zazz here? Uh-huh. Can you bump up these values?" That would be me if I were to give feedback, honestly. So, yeah, Josh, you know, generally takes that on, and then Harry adds a little bit of his input, and then they go on forward with that.
We have very different feedback styles, too. I try to describe, like, technically what I'm looking for or what piece of it I found good or bad. And Harry posts a YouTube link to a song that he likes and says, "Make it like that."
Majoris in the chat saying he should post some of those early works. So, yeah, definitely. That would be cool.
Oh, yeah. I think I still have a folder of like all the early test versions of the Halloween track of Broken Arrow as it progressed. But yeah, whatever you want to share, if you want to make like a before and after compilation or something, I'd be okay with it. Yeah, it's a fun process. I like the music stuff. Hopefully Majoris likes it as well.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that if Harry sometimes pop up and go, "Hey, there's this cool track I want," I'm going to brace myself for a vaporwave version of Amigo Home.
it's less so that like Harry has a desire for like, if he does, he usually just shows it to the core team and is like, "This is a vibe from this time frame," and we all listen to it and kind of agree or you know, whatever. But very rarely does it come up that it's like, "Oh, you know, we should make a music or we should make a song that sounds like this. Let's get Majoris." Usually it comes up with like, "We want this kind of event, or we want this kind of this theme to happen. What can we put forward.
Harry, since he's an artist, he's very good in the conceptual stage, like when we're trying to figure out what sound to go for. Like when we were saying, okay, we want the Halloween thing to be scary, but what kind of scary, and how does that translate to the music? And then he was dropping links to, like, here, these are really well done, unsettling tracks from mm-hmm. other games or whatever. Like he had things in mind that popped up, and he would share them, and we were like, oh, okay, I really like that vibe, that's a good idea. And then once it's actually in the technical part of like going back and forth on revisions, then it's mostly just me going back and forth. I'm like, oh, do this, do that, and yeah.
And then I'm just nodding in the background.
But I don't want to overstate my involvement in it, though, because I give feedback, but most of it is just Majora's being a beast and cranking out really nicely made music. I give, like, minor tweaks, if anything.
It sounds... He says it's minor. It all sounds, like, very technical to me, and I'm just kind of surprised most of the time that they're going back and forth. But yeah. Majora's does great work, and love to hear the final outputs of those.
Yep. I almost released the updated version of Target Acquired to the soundtrack, like, as soon as I had the delivery, because I'd like it a lot, but then mm-hmm. I decided to wait until the update so that I can put it in the release notes.
What else you got, Nico?
That would be all for now, because I mean, it took quite a while. That was a really cool answer, so yeah. Okay. You can,
you don't have any other, like, final thought?
How are you doing overall? You doing good?
Eat me.
Dang, he knows me. He knows my trick. I should have cut him off when he was doing his final sentence instead.
I did actually want an answer to that question. I wasn't trying to set it up just for you, but it works either way.
Okay. Well, you can be good cop this time.
I'm always good cop.
No, you're not.
Wink.
Okay. Rez, welcome to the stage. Your mic is muted. There you go.
Hola. Hey. Hi, Kirby. Hi, Action.
Howdy. Hello.
Okay, so my question is, I have two questions, actually. Number one, are we going to get the BRDM Spandrel? You know, the one of the anti-tank missiles.
Yeah, it's on the spreadsheet.
Okay, that's good. number two, can we get the real-life coordinates for the maps currently in-game? I'd love to search the places up on Google Maps.
I don't have them on hand. I remember where a couple of them are, but not the names. Like, I can find them on Google Maps.
Yeah, if you can give me the names of the towns and I could just look at the terrain. I just want to see how it's cool compared, you know?
I would have to go look for it again. I'm not sure when I'll have a chance. I don't know all of them, also. I know maybe two of the four or so, and I think Lancer knows all of them.
Lancer knows all of them. When we were in Germany last year doing research, the core team, we were driving around in the areas, which is, yeah, I mean, would you consider it rural Germany?
Yeah.
Josh? Yeah, we were driving around rural Germany. And, like, I'm looking at Google Maps, and I kind of know where I'm at, and Josh is driving around, and then Kevin is like, oh, around this corner, there's gonna be a quarry. The quarry is over here. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We're nowhere near a quarry. And sure enough, we make a turn, and there's a quarry to our left, and he's like, there it is, there it is! And now there's a soccer pitch to our right! And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And then, sure enough, there's a soccer pitch. And then he was able to point us a couple more turns. He's like, this is where this mission happens. This is where I built this up. And I'm like, what the shit?
Yep.
And then he shared a bunch of pictures with one of the other mission developers, saying, like, hey, here's this mission that you built. It just shows, like, where you spawn at, basically.
Yeah, it was Kinetic Key. He found the tree right to your left when you're in Kinetic Key's starting point.
Yeah, and the other designer was like, oh shit, you're right there. And I'm just like, how do you know this?
He's clearly spent more time staring at the maps than we
have. Yeah, for real.
Also, we went to the hill for Silver Dart. We went to Silver Dart Hill and looked out, and I was like, yep, there it is. There's the slope where they come down. There's the dip where they sneak up on you. It's all here.
Yeah. All that to say, we don't know off the top of our heads, but if Kevin wants to share that information, he can, you know, go ahead and do that.
Speaking
he's
of...
He's got me a little link there.
Oh, so yeah.
I'm kind of happy about that. Thank you.
Ross asked in the... Sorry, really quickly. Ross asked in the chat, he said he found all of them except the original test map. I don't remember the town name for the original test map, but I know there's a waste treatment plant on that 2x2 area that's not in the actual like in-game version. Mm-hmm. And there's also a highway that was deleted for the in-game version. The terrain layout, like the fields and trees, is about the same. But you're looking for a sewage treatment plant and a highway. That's all I remember. I'd have to go find it again. I think I pinned it somewhere in my Google. Anyway, back to you, Rez.
Okay, so I'm just figuring out how to formulate this. When you add the next theater, are you going to visit those areas again?
If we can. It's not strictly necessary to visit to make a representation, but I think we would get a better result if we did, because visiting a place... Doing something in the real world to connect you with what you're depicting is a good way to stay grounded and to adjust your understanding of it that you can't really get by just reading articles and looking at photos. When we went to Germany and we went to the region that we're depicting, we got a much better sense of how it's supposed to look. So next time we do a major terrain revision or when we remake the buildings and stuff, it's going to be much more authentic. We have all of our own videos and photos. We walked there and looked around and saw the size and the color and everything for ourselves. It's going to be much more authentic.
At the very least, we would... probably talk about paying some local people to go around, take pictures for us, take video for us, if we can't, like, physically all make it to the same spot for any reason, because that it also extends to what we do with vehicles too. Like, we get scans of real vehicles so we have proper proportions and everything, and try not to go off of just facsimile.
I see. Okay, thank you. That's all my questions answered.
Right,
good question. Thank you.
Alrighty. We've got Audipup again.
Hey guys, me again. So, more of a background to the game, like how tech works question. We're noticing, obviously, more and more that you're talking about, you know, what's the technical term? Resource management, I guess, would be a good word, you know, about the ammo resources and supply limits or supply issues. Can you talk a bit more about how you've sort of come to a conclusion about what ammo would be like the front line, what ammo would be the backup, what ammo in some cases would be the, oh god, we are so totally screwed, we need to bring in like 20-year-old ammo?
Typically we just read reports about inventory from the actual time and place in real life. If you dig enough, you can find a lot of information, and then you can also find evidence. So for example, you might see that on paper a certain piece of ammunition or a certain tank or a certain piece of kit was approved for service at a certain time, but then you won't find any photos of it until later. Like, oh, it starts appearing in exercises in 87, but they said they approved it in 84, so that means it probably wasn't actually sent over yet. You know, so we put together this picture of what was going on from doing historical investigation, and it can be tough. You have to look in places that are not you know, the Wikipedia page and the commonly accepted answers, but we get a good enough sense that even if we're wrong sometimes, we're probably still mostly right. And then we have kind of trusted researchers who, if we give them a very focused question, like, hey, can you figure out when exactly they approved M456A2 for fielding and when they started sending it out? Like, they probably know places to look to get the answers. And yeah, that's how we do it. We just dig a lot until we find out.
Cool. Okay, then related question, but not on the same subject. I know that there was talk about various bugs involving like tech light armor and stuff like that. Did that ever get fixed? Am I being an idiot? Did I miss a patch note?
What kind of bugs in tech light armor? Oh, wait, that was the one where the T-64 would resist tow missiles because of the layered armor issue. Yeah, that got fixed.
So, and I guess more personal question than I think the wider audience, but no one else is asking it. Saying so, can you explain like what was going on a bit more and like how, in terms of what should have happened versus what was happening, if that's possible?
Yeah, why not? I mean, this stuff is usually like probably pretty boring unless you're specifically looking for it. But since you asked, the layered armor arrays, they have multiple separate colliders in them. So the surface layer is a different piece from the textilite, and then the backing plate is another layer, and that way we can give them different material properties. The problem was thick ammunition, like a ATGM, something that's really wide. It has a edge detection routine, right, so that you can't like sneak it through a tiny gap. If the edge hit before the middle, there was a chance that it would miscalculate the depth and where it needs to be offset to, like, for the center point of the hit, and that would skip a layer of armor. So it would just kind of accidentally ignore one of those layers of the sandwich, or more than one. And it wouldn't happen with Sabo, because Sabo's so narrow. You're pretty much always getting a good hit, and it wouldn't happen with like the turret cheeks because they're more vertical, and if you're doing a check a couple centimeters to the right or left or up or down, it's still hitting the same piece. So it was specifically thick rounds on highly sloped layered surfaces, but there were very few things in the game that could satisfy all those conditions, and one of them was the T-64. And as a result, the T-64 would shrug off tow missiles because it was causing a disagreement in what the round was hitting, and it was right, it wasn't skipping, it was double registering. That was the one. It would register a layer of armor twice, and it was like the thick middle layer, right? So it took it from the missile should just barely get through to there's no chance in hell. It was like 700 millimeters of equivalent protection. It was a lot of extra chemical protection for no reason. So that's been fixed. I figured it out. I put some extra logic in the code so that it's not doing the same mistake, and now it's all working as intended.
Fascinating. Okay, and then I guess one final question, seeing as the floor is still pretty much clear. Again, on the ammunition front, you talk about the rocket or the missile. I'm terrible with my technical terms, so they had a bad week. Anyway, ignore that. The point is that you talk about the special ammo for the T-80. Can you explain like what you mean? Like, why is it so special compared to say any of the other ATGMs that are already in the game?
So most of the other ATGMs, you just crank them off and they go in a direction. The Cobra in the T-80 has three different flight modes depending on the distance to the target. It basically tries to stay up out of the line of guidance until the last minute. And if you're close to the target, so it wouldn't have time to maneuver, it does a more direct fire thing. And also, it launches from the gun detent position, the elevated like reload angle, if it's in a mode that has enough distance for that. So we have some code changes very close to going in that may allow us to finally do that gun lock thing. So it would be nice to have the elevated gun position and the different guidance modes all kind of coming in at once, so we can get an authentic Cobra launch. Elevated gun barrel, fly high, and then dip down into the targeting area toward the end.
And then I guess, yeah, no one else is asking anything, so I'll ask the question that I'm sure a lot of people like me are wondering, when it comes to ammo and weaponry. Top attack missiles, especially when infantry comes in, are they likely? I don't even know the era, to be honest, if that's likely, and if they are, any chance you can give us an update on, you know, how that goes in terms of tech side?
You're talking about overfly or down angle, like elevated dive missile stuff?
I guess both. So I'm guessing like ADM 65 for the A-10 and stuff like that, and then obviously the equivalent, whatever the infantry equivalent would be.
So I'm not aware of any stuff in theater that has either overfly or top down flight path. There is code in the game that can accomplish a dive attack, because I made a javelin in the early days just for fun, and then some modders have found that code and used it. It's very similar to the ERA situation. There's old code for ERA and it's not being used, and it needs to be updated to our new standards for optimization. But in the meantime, it still exists in the project, and that's how the Contact 1 mod works. I don't think we're going to be getting any top attack missiles by 1.0. I'm not aware of anything in the game that uses that logic.
Thank you. All right, well, thanks for indulging a nerd like me. I'll leave anyone that wants to talk to it.
Yep,
thanks for the questions.
All right, Feta, how's it going?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi guys. Yeah, great having the T-80 game, tank added to the game.
Yes.
Really have the T-64A and the attached missions. Jumping between the BMPs and tanks are really good fun. Well done.
Thank you.
So, regarding T-64, will we ever see the T-64B?
That remains to be seen.
Okay, I remember you teased it in a earlier image, but I might be mistaken.
It's possible that there was an image of a bunch of models, a bunch of vehicle variants being configured, and that could have been in there at one point. But as far as what's coming to the game, we have never officially confirmed a T-64B, and nor have we denied it.
Okay, well, I have to fish for information. But anyway, well, great having the T-80B coming then. That'd be cool. And yes. I heard you cover the question about the Cobra ATGM. I got late to the stream, so I had to rewatch it. I was actually watching my kids. No, my brother's youngest kid. He's a tank fan, so he got to see a little bit of it. But anyway, yeah, I really into this. Anyway, a great. You're making a great game. Really looking forward to trying out the new patch. So,
well, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Yeah. See you.
That's nice. Oh, you found the test map location.
Yeah, I started a long time ago. I just had to actually pull up Google Maps and find it.
I posted the cat that I saw at Point Alpha.
By the way, the folder cat. with me posting that link to where the test map is, that officially concludes the challenge of finding where the test map is, which only one person ever completed without help.
This is true. The reward for doing that was a special role. And when we get around to doing a closed multiplayer test, we will invite that person in to assist.
So it'll probably be team, whatever, like Patreon or whatever we consider to be part of the early testing, and that guy who found the map location.
Right. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they like were already up in that like role or something or whatever we do to make that happen, I don't know. We'll do something else.
Yeah, they got a custom Discord role. That's so much reward now.
True.
TJ, how's it going?
I just want to say I did find it before you posted the link. As soon as you said water treatment, I found it.
Oh man, you should have told us. Well, could have got in on that.
Other people are asking questions. Well, I mean, also I also made a map of all the locations. I posted it in the chat earlier. I didn't
think you did, huh?
Oh,
let's see. Where is that?
Yeah, so I did. I was like, actually, right now I opened up one of the old Patreon builds that sold full of links. So I'm trying to exactly map out the map borders right now.
Gotcha.
But anyway, I guess I'll ask an actual question. Actually, let's move my mic closer to my mouth. An actual question. So, do you think we'll ever see rounds ricocheting, so like tracer ricochets off into like high sky? Either as an actual effect or just particles?
I mean, you can already if they bounce that way. Do you mean like the tracer coming off of the round?
Yeah, that or whatever, specifically from terrain, not armor.
Oh, I see what you mean. I'm not sure. I don't think it would be too hard to add that, but I would want to do a little bit more research first on what conditions are necessary for a terrain ricochet, so it's not like comical, like every shot you fire just bounces off.
Right. And then, I guess, no one's mentioned, I don't think anyone's asking like infantry specific questions in a while. How much variation do you think infantry will have? Will it just be kind of like just kind of generic? You're reusing the same few assets, or will it be a lot more varied?
The base model for all of them will be basically the same, which is like the uniform, the helmet, whatever, the skeleton. But there is some equipment variation possible depending on what we end up going forward with. I know that the art team has several experiments cooking. Like there's a face variation system being worked on. There's radios and stuff, like kit for the belt. There's potentially eyeglasses. It kind of depends how much there's time to put in. So I'm not sure what the final variation sets will look like, but there's a potential for something like that.
Do you think there'd be like I guess modifiers for like I guess this is dumb because infantry's not the focus, but I guess so like kind of how tanks you have like different. You could like there's the unit markings. Do you think there'd be like kind of subtle differences to differentiate like I don't know ACR from a third armored
on the troops? Yeah. Or on the vehicles?
On the infantry themselves, like I don't know, maybe have some sort of like difference, maybe caminating on their Kevlars, maybe like one unit's like all parade ready, one dude, and then a different unit's like no skivvy shirt, no rockin' wizard sleeves or something.
Honestly, I doubt it.
It's definitely just a me thing. I kind of want to see that somewhere because as a Marine, a lot of those like subtle details just can get completely lost in every media I've ever seen.
Yeah, I gotcha. If this was a first person shooter, we would probably be considering things like that. But the infantry are so small compared to the rest of the stuff happening.
I don't blame you, but it's fun to ask questions.
Yeah, I gotcha. It's one of those things where, like, we definitely will run across those details when we're doing research, but then we think, okay, is it worth it to put this in the game where nobody will ever see it? No, probably not.
I look forward to what the modders will do once those are actually released.
They'll replace them all with anime girls, you know this.
First off, get out of my dream journal. Second, I look forward to... I look forward to what modders will actually put on as far as decals and other things like that.
Hopefully some pants. Any other questions?
Not at this time.
Alrighty. Thank you.
Okay. So we started a little late. And we still got time, whatever.
Yeah, we've only been going 45 minutes.
Yeah. I put a question to the chat that I can either get a leak or another picture from our Germany trip, one that is actually relevant to what we're working on. And
do you have this picture handy?
We would have talked about it a little bit, but the vote is that they want to leak.
They just had a whole like T80 preview on the stream, and they want to leak already.
That's what we do here.
There's some hungry Patreon supporters.
They need their vegetables.
Let me see if I can find a leak that's not going to violate the art team.
Well, we chatted a little bit about this before earlier in the week, so I think we have something. You might be able to get away with pulling something from Cass or the dev chat.
Oh, right, because not everybody has seen. Yeah. Well, that's kind of not... that's not going to work anymore because everyone's seen it now.
F.
Yeah.
Think about it. You think about it. We got another question to get to.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Arcfire Fox, what's going on?
Hello. Hey, you guys just can't get rid of me.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Nope. All right. I was curious on if you guys had any idea of when you're going to implement the ability to use the machine guns on top of the turrets of the tanks. As I know with the T-80, it'd be kind of nice to move that turret out of the way so I can see in front of me more easily.
Yeah, there's a couple of different stages to this. One is the turrets that are remote controllable could be implemented at any time, and we just haven't done it yet. Like the T-64 machine gun can be controlled from inside the tank. The Abrams machine gun can be controlled from inside the tank. We just haven't gotten around to it. But the ones that require a person to grab them, we have to decide, do we want them to be like ghosts machine guns until we get the animated crew? And if we do think that's okay, we need to at least have a way to change the control over to them smoothly. I don't like the idea that you're going to have to cycle through a bunch of different views to get to the machine gun like you currently do with the others. We have a system in the works that will let you switch your crew station specifically so that your only weapon choices are the ones that you have at hand, basically. And that would be a good thing to have for the machine guns as well, because you would switch your commander to the top station in the cupola, and then you'd have that gun. So that might go in first. And then there's also the final goal of having full animated crew, where you can see the guy come out the top and grab the gun and use it. That is also being worked on. I've seen some really nice animations for the M113, for example, of handling and reloading and stuff for the 50 cal. Once we have enough of that stuff done, we'll just roll out the entire feature. But it's kind of a question internally of when do we think it's time to put a partial version of it forward, and there's no answer for that yet. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I figured that was the case, but I wanted to ask. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yep, you can throw me away now.
Oh, you want to just beat it? Okay, we can do that. Sure.
Yeah, people can always leave.
Oh, I can?
Yeah, you can leave. Did he leave or did you throw him?
I did it, but I thought you were setting him up to do that.
No, I was just saying, man. People have the ability to leave the speaker status at any time.
You said I was going to be good cop.
Well. You believed that.
Oh my god. Alright, so if I were a leek, what would I be?
Probably really boring without vegetable oil and frying.
Hey man, come on. Now I feel like getting Chinese food. Come on.
See, here's the problem. There's a lot of stuff that would be really, really cool to leak, and then I would hear about it for weeks afterward. Like, why do they know that this is coming? Why did he show that?
I get you. Are we doing no leak this time?
Let me look really quick and see if I have anything that
Okay.
Isn't going to be horrendous.
It's fine if you don't want to.
No, I do want to. I just have to make sure.
I'm just razzing you. But if anyone else has a question, feel free to jump on voice. I see some questions in the chat. I don't recognize chat questions. It's a learning disability that I have, and you should feel bad for bringing that up.
Yeah, you're more of an auditory...
Exactly.
...question answer.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, man, there's so much stuff. There's so much...
So much.
Yeah, this is very hard. There's even stuff that's almost ready that I still don't think we should show.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Because, yeah. We'd find
you know
something.
What I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Man. Okay, I could show the Cobra. It's not a big leak, but it's a leak.
Okay. Alright, yeah. There. Don't say I didn't do anything for you guys. You guys, I say, thank you for being patrons. We really appreciate it.
All right, there we go. There's something that I know is not going to cause issues. I should really figure this out beforehand.
Yeah. I mean, we made the attempt to. So, like, it's not completely... It is what it is.
There's stuff in this same folder that would be incredible and I cannot show.
Can't show it. Don't do it. Partly, I want them to get leaks. But also, I like it when you squirm to try and find a leak. Now, if I had some leaks, I would work it out. But I don't have a folder of stuff.
Picture this. Remember many, many months going back, all these Q&As, people asking for leaks? Every single time for the last, I don't know, for a while, I had to look through my screenshot folders and look at these beautiful renders of the T-80 and be like, I can't fucking show that yet. It's too early. And this is the kind of stuff that I go through every time. I'm looking at other things right now that are incredible and I can't show them yet. It's not, madness.
Not because we don't want to. We want to hold that in until just the right time. But also, we have been bit by doing that before.
That's true. I showed the Bradley way too early.
Yeah. Oh, man. I feel like that helped us a little bit, at least. You know, that was our own kind of little bit of marketing. But then we had to field questions about the Bradley for months.
Yeah. Where's Bradley? Where's Bradley? The model's done. Why is it not in yet?
That's not how it works. We have shit to do. But someone is waiting to ask a question.
It is Arc Firefox. Holy shit.
Wow.
Hello. Yes, I'm back again. Amazing.
It's been so long.
Oh, I know. I can't remember the last time we last spoke.
Seriously. What's up?
Yes, I have a two-part question for you. Since we've been talking about infantry, I'm kind of curious of what's left to finish with the infantry.
It depends what kind of finished. So, there are different phases of infantry functionality that we've identified internally. Like, once they're able to do this, that's one milestone. Once they're able to do that, that's another. The first ones are very close. There's no word on what the schedule is for them arriving, but we've got people dedicated on them right now. We have for a bit. We didn't intend for the Soviets to come out before infantry. It's just the way it shook out because infantry is complicated. But parts of that timeline for the infantry rollout are imminent now.
One thing that got knocked up on the priority list. Bumped up? What do you want me to say?
Yeah,
shut up.
Yeah, bumped up.
One thing that got I'm not even going to make a joke out of that. One thing we prioritized more as we got into this year was that we wanted to get more optimization out of the game on a lot of the stuff that we're making that's new, and we want to go back on some of the stuff that we have and refactor those systems as we can. Whatever makes sense. And we found that some of the ballistics items that we had for infantry just was not performant enough. So we had to go back and work with one of our contractors to figure out a better way for that if we wanted to have reasonable numbers on maps. And that has taken some time. I feel like, Josh, correct me if I'm wrong, that has been fixed. But because that was fixed, it has now opened up to other systems that we need to shore up.
Yeah, it's been multiple things in parallel as well, because at the same time, the art team was doing animation overhauls.
Yeah. The art team is going to do their thing, but you know, me and Josh and contractors have to work with work in the technical side. And it's just...
There's
so
also
much stuff happening.
The tech side of infantry is multifaceted because you have the art team doing animations, the programmers are setting up controllers for the animations and like state changes and the AI, and those all interact. So if you make a change to one part, you might have to have someone help you with a change to the other part. The guy that's mostly focused on infantry right now will be like, hey, I fixed their behavior so that they do this now, and the problem is the animation transition for this is glitched, so they can do it now, but it looks weird. And then the art team has to go make a correction, and then they say, "Okay, that works now." Now, when they're pulling their law off their back, this happens, and how do we fix that? So it's just a constant kind of cycle of going back and forth between the different parts of the team to make sure that the feature is working properly.
Yep. They are doing heavy stuff. I just mentioned this in the chat, but they're doing a lot of setup for the animation framework.
You don't recognize the chat.
I recognize them sometimes.
He is a fickle king.
I am. But they're setting up animation frameworks, and they're working with us on whatever support they might need. But because small team, and we can only be pulled in so many different directions at once, you'd see any new feature or any optimization that we have to look into, that just kind of compounds the issue as well.
Yeah.
We know the things we need to do, but I only have so many hands, and there's only so many hours in the day.
Yep. Also, it keeps... just as another anecdote about infantry while we're on the subject, there was a moment where we were like, okay, we can't have them use the complicated ballistics model that tank rounds do because they're firing hundreds of rounds and it's just going to bog everything down. And I said, okay, that's fine. I'll make a mode switch in the ballistics model to simplify it, and that should take care of it. And I did that, and then they tried it, and they said, okay, it made it a little better. It's still terrible. I said, damn it. Okay, let's turn it off completely. No ballistics calculations, very simple. Give them ballistics for the RPGs, and then the rifle rounds, they can just take pot shots at each other. And that works much better. So there's constantly things that we expect will happen, and then we actually try it, and we say, oh, it's a little different, let's go back and change it. And we're finally getting toward the point where we can confidently say it's going to work, and it's no longer in the far-flung future, but the more near future.
It has been fun to get up to this point. It has just taken a bit because of so many other vying priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual initial setup of that framework.
Arc Firefox, like, you have... anything else before I boot you back to the audience?
I do, actually. So I guess it's kind of more of a three-part question now. I was kind of curious with infantry. When they get taken out, are you guys going with more ragdoll physics, or is it just going to be a bit more static?
I'm not sure how it will be in the end. Ragdolls have a performance overhead. So even though I like being able to have ragdolls, especially for like central nervous system hits, we still have to try it. I think right now they're all animated, and then there's a way to slot in ragdolls if we so choose, but that needs testing still.
Yeah. Right now, it's just static animations, like just to get the thing going and to have it be testable. Down the line, if we want to, we'll make that decision.
Yeah.
Lower priority, honestly.
There we go, animating into ragdoll.
Yeah, I mean it could happen. We'll see.
Some actually do that. Animate a little bit, let them ragdoll, and then kill the ragdoll and kill the interaction of them. So they're just like flopped bodies at that point.
Right, yeah. There's... It just depends how the performance is, probably.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. And I'm actually going to skip the third question because... Well, it's been a tradition to this point, but it hasn't been mentioned at all yet, so I'm actually going to break that tradition.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. So that's all I got, then.
All right.
Thank you for the questions.
I have one final thought before we wrap up, because we are now at an hour. Wow. We are always working on stuff from the roadmap, obviously, but then we have another thing that's come up, a tradition for the team, which is making an April Fool's update. And as you may know from looking at a calendar, we are fast approaching April Fool's Day. We have some ideas that we're working on. We will see what happens. And we look forward to that occasion. Hopefully it works the first time we try to build it. And not, a week of crunch before April Fool's Day. We've made that mistake in the past. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think it'll be cool.
That is neat for you to say, but we've never done an April Fool's patch. We've never done an update for that.
Oh, yeah, you know what? That's true. I don't know what I was remembering.
All the stuff we've ever put in is 100%. Content.
Yeah, it was all serious. Yeah.
No gags.
Yep.
No, like children screaming when you get a hit or something, yep, or cheering or anything.
No giant score numbers. No swarm of T-34s blasting the Soviet anthem. Nothing. None of that happened.
This is a serious game about serious business.
Yeah.
Yep.
Arc Firefox, the flying BMP does not count as an April Fool's event.
I wish that did, because that was hilarious when it first happened.
That was such a weird bug. It only happened when you paused the game, and it wasn't like gravity turned off or something. It was just a really weird interaction in the colliders.
The person who posted that, like a GIF of that happening or something, like pause, and then it slowly just shifts out of focus away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yep, good stuff. All right, we're at an hour, 3 minutes. We're running up our audio bill. Thanks for coming, everybody. We will see you all in about a month for the Q&A.
Bye-bye.